This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Two Western Michigan University professors have developed a course that examines social justice and sustainability in India. Jennifer Harrison, professor of social work, and Tim Palmer, professor of management, developed the course, which includes time studying abroad in India. Their efforts have attracted the attention of the New York Times and the Forum on Education Abroad. They have awarded the Western Michigan University faculty members the inaugural New York Times in Education Award for Innovation in Education Abroad. Thank you very much for being here.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So let's go back to how this got started. How did you two, who are in somewhat different departments, management and social work, decide that this was something that you wanted to do?
WMU has really never had a trip to India before, and I'd say it's probably 2013. One of our partners in India was visiting WMU and reached out to the College of Business and thought it would be a good idea to have a trip to India. It made sense for the college to have a trip to India. And so initially, it was really just business students that went on the trip to India. But WMU and the Hennick Institute requires that before you go on a trip, that you actually do an exploratory trip ahead of time. And so I was really, really fortunate to tag team on with an Australian university who just coincidentally happened to be social work students. And so I joined on their trip. And during that process, we talked about, wouldn't it be interesting to actually combine two different universities on a trip to India, looking at corporate social responsibility, sustainability, social justice from a social work angle, from a business angle, and bring those students who are geographically, different parts of the world, academically, different fields to have those kinds of conversations. And so I happened to hook on to a social work trip and then realized the possibility of, what could that be? And so that was the genesis of it. It was kind of by chance. We needed to have a trip to India. I was the person to go give that a try and happened to be social workers. And then you want to continue on with the partnership with us?
Yeah. So actually our associate dean, Ann Tyler, had introduced Tim and I, as well as another faculty in the School of Social Work, Linda Reeser. And I'd already led a study abroad course in Guatemala with a focus on permaculture and community health. And so then we started exploring, what could we do with this really innovative idea of social work students and health and human services students more broadly, and management and business students and College of Business students more broadly, into a shared course or a sister course that focuses on that social justice and sustainability from those dual or multiple perspectives in India.
So how then do these two fields kind of come together, management and social work, as you kind of lay out the course and also, spend some time in India? Do you get students from both colleges who participate?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the design. And I think the really cool part about it is that, I teach a class in ethics and sustainability. We talk a lot in the business school about corporate social responsibility. I believe that social workers talk about corporate social responsibility as well, but we come at it from really different viewpoints. And the magic is when you bring business students and College of Health and Human Services students together looking at the same sorts of issues, but from really different lenses, you have some really amazing conversations that come out of that. And so the study is the same. The places we visit are the same. The topic's roughly the same, but the angles that they come from are really different. And it's a great opportunity. Well, really, even Jennifer and I learn from each other, every time we're there, but for our students as well to see differing viewpoints on a similar concept, similar theme.
I think we like to talk about that the course is interdisciplinary by design rather than by default. So we've been really intentional about building the syllabus as really, even though it's two separate classes, it's one syllabus. All of the course sessions here in the U.S. and in India are all held together. So there's no separate component where the business students go off and do this and the social work students go off and do this. And that's really intentional on our part. And we also find that there are students who really would never have probably had connections. We've had students who were from social work and business last year that had never met each other, ended up being roommates for part of the trip and really are kind of lifelong friends at this point. And we're able to share, again, those different perspectives in our own disciplines. We can really get in this groupthink process where everyone in this field thinks a certain way about this issue. And I think being able to work with other faculty and other students from a different department, it's amazing how much that kind of like blows the roof off of some of those groupthink processes and how we can get to a really deeper level of understanding about what different stakeholders need in advancing sustainability or social justice.
And I would add too, I require that I meet with my students before they even sign up for the trip, right? Just to kind of screen them, but also to give them a kind of a realistic preview of what the trip is about. And when I get to the point where I talk about this is actually by design an interdisciplinary trip, and we'll actually be traveling with social workers, their eyes kind of light up and like, wow, that's cool. You know, this is really different. And so I think that's a real, I mean, we know it's a benefit, but I think even the students going into it realize that it's going to be a benefit to them as well.
Is there ever anyone that says, oh, well, that's not quite what I thought this was going to be, not what I had in mind?
The interdisciplinary nature, do you mean?
Or,
No, never. No, I think they get it. You know, we in the business school, we talk about CSR, we talk about sustainability.
And CSR is corporate social responsibility.
Right. You know, but ultimately, companies have to make a profit. You come together in India and we're with students who aren't business students, and they see the amazing amount of work that has to get done, the challenges that exist. And I think the question is, why aren't companies doing more? Why don't they give more? Well, then you get the business student that says, well, you know, you got to make the finances work. It's not like it's a bottomless pit of money. You know, we have stakeholders as well, and we've got to be responsible to all of them. And that's where you get really rich conversations and discussions and understanding. You know, social workers, they have clearly the expertise and the understanding of the social challenges that my students, business students, would never have. My students kind of get the business side to it, the financial side to it, and that's really the benefit.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's interesting whenever you're doing study in part of what we would consider the developing world is that we'll get these perspectives that are like, you know, how can India be more like the U.S. or how can non-governmental organizations be more like non-governmental organizations in the U.S. And then we actually go there, and there's a federal statute in India that designates a certain amount of profit margin that large companies need to dedicate to corporate social responsibility efforts. And certainly we don't have anything like that in the U.S. So I think we originally start to think about, like, how can we bring development to the developing world? And then sometimes we have to even turn that construct on its head and say, like, well, how have other nations in the world really figured things out that we in the U.S. have not figured out how to do, how to address social problems, which also have real costs to them? I mean, you know, social problems cost money to a lot of people, including to businesses. And so that's kind of also a really interesting thing to see students kind of open their eyes to of, you know, how are we not just bringing the U.S. more and more to other parts of the world, but how can we take away some of the ethical and sustainability measures that are being used elsewhere that we could employ in the U.S.?
How much time do the students actually spend in India?
2 weeks.
And where do they go? I mean, is it kind of a mix of bigger cities and rural areas, that sort of thing?
Yeah, yes and no. So there's one constant. We have a long-term partner. WMU has a long-term partner at Christ University, which is in Bangalore. And so up until now, and into the foreseeable future, 1 week starts in Bangalore with Christ University. They do a great job of all the logistics, identifying and orchestrating all the site visits to companies, to nonprofit organizations, the cultural aspects. They handle, with our input, of course, they handle all of that. So we're there a week with them. And then the second week is actually kind of our fun experimental component. Last year, we went to another WMU partner, Rajagiri, which is down in the state of Kerala in South India, in Cochin. And likewise, they did all the logistics for us. Totally different part of the country, mountainous, spectacular backwater, you know, just the scenery is different. Businesses are slightly different. So we spent a week in South India. This year, to mix it up, we're actually going to get on a train, which I'm really excited about, the Indian Railway, to hop on a train. And we'll travel 7 hours northwest of Bangalore to, I'm going to say small town. In India, towns are bigger than the U.S. So a town called Hubli, which is home of the Deshpande Foundation, and they're really world known for social enterprise incubators, startup processes. And so we'll spend time with the Deshpande Institute, and then we'll be there for 3 days and then hop on a plane and go to Delhi and tour Delhi, and then can't go to India without seeing the Taj Mahal, right? So we'll head to Agra, which is home of the Taj Mahal. So the last 3 days will be primarily tourism, but 2 weeks in three different cities, mm-hmm. three different areas. And then next year, who knows? Right. You know, 1 week will be at Bangalore, I know, but I don't know.
Yeah, and we have this, I think another interesting part of the course for me, even from my perspective, is we kind of go from like one day we'll go to a huge multinational corporation and be on their kind of like Google-esque campus grounds with people with lots of white collar jobs and really doing high tech stuff. And then the next day we'll be working in a local school that works with children from a local slum community and really commits to their educational process from the age of 5 through 25 through postgraduate school. And so it's a really nice point-counterpoint that the students get to experience in terms of going through slums and going through rural communities and talking about water safety and menstrual health for girls, and then going to these large corporations and looking at what they're giving to corporate social responsibility and how they're trying to impact change.
And there's so much learning that goes on that. I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, one day you're at Infosys' headquarters in Bangalore, which is an enormous, spectacular campus. And the next day we're trotting through a slum community to get to some NGO startup. And the students struggle with that. I mean, how can we one day be in this place that I, you know, can imagine myself working, you know, and then the next day, you know, in abject poverty that they couldn't even conceive of. And then how do you unpack that? And Jennifer does a great job. And that's why I'm so glad to have social workers to unpack what are you experiencing and how do you feel about it? And how do you make sense out of it? And don't feel guilty because you have things. Think about how do you use your skills to, you know, to help others and to make improvements and so on. But that point counterpoint, you know, really can be challenging to students. But that's part of the experience is to see that because that India is definitely that kind of a country. Mm-hmm. Incredible wealth and in growth. And then, you know, significant challenges, whether they're social challenges, environmental challenges, and it's all just layered on top of each other.
Is that part of what makes India the right place to do something like this? There's probably other countries you could do it as well. But does that contrast that you mentioned there really help teach a course like this about social justice and sustainability?
I think so. And, you know, what we know in the U.S. about India is the substantial growth and the call centers, in which we have the opportunity to visit a call center in a lot of cases. And then what we also know about India are the, like, environmental challenges and the air quality challenges and the issues related to sexual violence. And so we do have this view of India as this rapidly growing, technologically advanced, and yet still developing world type nation. And so I do think that, it's like, it's just the right spot. A lot of other areas of the world, you couldn't have that layering of wealth and privilege and poverty and, you know, poverty and pollutions kind of like proximal to each other. I mean, in the US, to be frank, I think we segregate, we ghettoize a lot of our individuals in poverty, and there's just not enough space to do that in India. There's too many people in too small of an area, particularly in cities. So people are pretty close to each other, literally and figuratively.
It's also a good opportunity while we're there to talk with students about how far the U.S. has come in a short amount of time. You know, so you'll travel to India and you'll just the images, the sights, the smells, they're so different. And you might be crossing a stream that's, you know, foul and dirty. And, you know, students, it's easy to, you know, put your nose up in the air and say, well, my goodness, it's just, you know, so dirty and awful here. And then I'll say, I'm dating myself, but, you know, when I was young, the Cuyahoga River in Ohio caught fire. You know, how many years ago was that? You know, it's not that long ago, right? And so this is a country that's developing really quickly. We had similar problems. We figured them out. They'll figure them out faster than we are. And you can see the people that are actually making that happen. So it's a good reality check for them, I think, as well, to see the kind of growth that we've had, development we've had.
You're listening to WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. I'm talking with Western Michigan University Management Professor Tim Palmer and Social Work Professor Jennifer Harrison. They developed a study abroad course for India that includes students from Western's Haworth College of Business and the College of Health and Human Services. Last week, it was announced that they have won the inaugural New York Times in Education Award for Innovation in Education Abroad.
So as you mentioned, you know, the students are coming from different disciplines, management and social work, but do they have some things in common if they're going to be attracted to something like this that's going to draw them in, even if, you know, perhaps their educational track for now is on a somewhat different place?
Yeah, so I think people that choose to do any study abroad course, because it's not a requirement in an undergraduate or graduate education, and particularly one that's in India, are kind of the adventurous spirit sorts, which is really, it's such a privilege to get to teach and work with students who are self-selecting into a class like this and who really want to learn, who kind of want to lean into discomfort sometimes and to, you know, figuring out like, well, what do I wear and what can I eat and what am I going to see and how am I going to explain that to my family and friends when I get back and while I'm there, and how do I kind of translate what I've learned, which is I think that's hard to do with study abroad. It's one of the harder classes to translate to other people who haven't had the same experience. And, you know, I always say that in any of your classes that you have in a university setting or in a high school setting or whatever, you're going to have certain people that you gravitate toward and that you spend time with outside of class and you might be in a study group with or might hang out socially with. And study abroad, it's such an intensive social and learning experience that really, I mean, people literally develop lifelong friendships when they're doing study abroad. And it's really nice for Tim and I to be able to just kind of bear witness to that. And we had a student last year who we were talking about, we had the opportunity when we were in Kerala to travel up to the tea plantations in Munnar, which is right on the edge of between Kerala and Tamil Nadu. And so we're up in the mountains, and one of the students was writing about it afterwards, and he said, you know, this is the best day of my life. And I thought, like, wow, like that's, I mean, that's a pretty, it was great. I was having a great time. I don't know if I would characterize it even myself as the best day of my life, but it was really impactful for him. And he was not saying that in a flippant way. He was a really deep, thoughtful student. So the fact that he felt like, you know, this was one of his best days or the best day, I felt like, oh, you know, how cool is that, that you get to be with somebody who's having one of the best days of their life?
And I would go back to, I think Jennifer's right, that you have to be a risk taker. I mean, to do a study abroad anyway, you're out of your comfort zone for sure. But, you know, as we were saying before, you just, not everybody, the bucket list is not there for India necessarily for all people. And so they're self-selecting in. And when I interview them, we talk through that. You know, why do you want to go here? And there might be challenges that are more significant than if you were to go to Germany or to England or Australia or, you know, wherever. But you need to be a bit of a risk taker. And they look at me like, what does that mean? What does that mean? Am I going to be in danger risk? I'm like, no, but it's just not going to be quite as easy for you. And then I follow it up with, if you know, how do you like spice? Because the food is absolutely amazing, absolutely amazing. But you have to be adventuresome. I mean, it's going to look different. It's going to taste, thankfully, different. And so you got to have a little bit of an adventuresome spirit, and you got to be able to want to have a little bit of everything on your plate, you know, like when you're a kid. And sometimes you're not going to like it. Sometimes you will. But students look forward to that.
Tim, you mentioned earlier that interview you do with students is also in part screening. Are there things
absolutely that
you look for where you say, these are the students I want, and somebody who may sound like they're all gung-ho and ready to do it, I have to look at somebody else instead?
Yeah, I'm very careful at the very beginning of that talk to lay out what my goals are and what I want from the trip and my beliefs, I guess. And my belief is that business can be used as a force for good. And I talk about what that means to me and what that might mean to students, and then talk about, you know, the trip itself and the details. And I'm honest and say, the trip is not for everyone, right? The trip is not for somebody. They've never been abroad before, and they're really hesitant to try new things. And they want to dabble in study abroad and dabble in internationally, and we'll talk through it. And people leave that meeting. Never have they said, well, thank you anyways, I'm not going to go. But my hunch is there have been a number of people that made that decision based on our conversation that, you know, maybe this is a little more aggressive than what I want for my first trip abroad. That said, we get students on this trip that not only have never been abroad, have never been to Canada, have never been on a plane. Mm-hmm. Our first flight to India is 16 hours from Chicago to Delhi. Change planes. They've never flown before. Right? I mean, that's the level of risk-taking. They're probably a little squeamish about that flight and the distance and the time.
And likewise, we've also had, like, occasionally we'll have students who kind of like one of their friends talks them into applying for the course. And we're always a little nervous about that. Like, oh, you know, is this something you really want to do or something that someone else was cajoled you into doing? So we had a student, again, in a previous year who really started out the travel portion with only eating white rice and naan. You know, I mean, like, that was all they were comfortable with and had significantly, like, broadened their palate by the end of the trip and found, you know, our joke was, oh, you have something that's not tan on your plate. Good for you. And that's really nice to see. Even people that somebody else was kind of like, oh, you know, do this with me, that it's as much learning for them. And that clearly they're also enjoying that process of stretching out of their comfort zone.
You both brought up the food. So I got to ask, you know, how different is it compared to what you would get with, say, you know, at an Indian restaurant in the United States?
Yeah, a lot of Indian, so there's kind of South Indian and North Indian cuisine. Okay. And a lot of the Indian restaurants that we have here in the U.S., like Saffron and Kalamazoo, are more North Indian based. So it tends to be more wheat-based diet. And actually, interestingly, we get to work with one non-governmental organization called Ashipatra, which is Overflowing Vessel, which is a children's, like a lunch food program. And it's a school nutrition program. And essentially, the draw is that when a lunch is provided for school kids, that parents will send their kids to school in rural communities so that everyone knows they're getting at least one solid meal 6 days a week, which is significant. And one of the things that they talk about, which is a really responsive thing, they have these huge kitchens that makes, you know, they have a big vat that's making 6,000 portions of rice in one pot, or 5,000 portions of a lentil and vegetable. So they've talked about how they work with the kids in the schools that they're doing to essentially do kind of like product testing. So, you know, kids that are hungry will eat what you put in front of them because they're hungry and they'll be grateful for it. But they also want to fix what kids in different parts of the country want to eat and what they would eat at home typically. So they mix up the spice palette and they mix up whether you use lentils or naan or rice or a yogurt base. And that was really neat to see, like, on those large scale industrial kitchens, how even then they're concerned about different kids liking different types of food.
Although our travel partners are pretty careful with us. I mean, clearly they vet all the restaurants ahead of time. The last thing that they want is anyone going to India and getting sick. It's not good for their business if we're getting sick. But I think that also means that they know that there's a Western group coming and the food's not quite as spicy as it might be otherwise. I know we have a relationship with Christ University and their MBA students come here, and I'll take them to Saffron and other places. And I won't say they roll their eyes because I love Saffron, but it's not like home. And so there are real differences between what you might find in an Indian restaurant in Kalamazoo or, you know, Chicago for that matter, and what we're eating there. But my wife likes to say, I could be a vegetarian if everyone cooked like the Indians cook. Absolutely amazing. I can't wait to eat that food again.
How did you become aware of the award from the New York Times and the Forum on Education Abroad?
We applied in early September and were actually notified just a few weeks ago by the New York Times Forum in Education. And so we're notified by email and we're just thrilled to be the inaugural recipients and to be able to partner with the New York Times and the Forum in Education to advance innovation and study abroad.
Yeah, how do you use the New York Times? Because that's one of the requirements here is that you kind of integrate the New York Times into the class itself, right?
Yeah, so the first part I'll explain that the Times does a really good job of having international coverage as it is. And reading through the Sunday Times, it's difficult not to find something interesting even about India. And a number of major stories in the Times about farming practices or air quality in Delhi with Diwali and farmers burning fields get amazing coverage in the Times. And so it's a really good opportunity for us to share those stories with students to give them an idea of the complexity of where we're going before we go. And so just from a, you know, reading the Times perspective, it's a natural fit for us. So that's one thing, is in the reading and the content in part comes from Times stories that are really, really current.
Mm-hmm. And Tim does a great job, I think, both in his sustainability work as well as in this study abroad, of just kind of like bringing in not only peer-reviewed articles from academic journals, but also articles from journalistic reports like The Times of, this is a viewpoint of someone who's been really embedded with a self-help group in India that's working on like women's microfinance, or an organization that's working on air quality in the Delhi area. And so that's been, we have each student do a topical briefing on a topic related to social justice or sustainability or corporate social responsibility. And we often reference, we ask them to embed articles specifically from the New York Times in that. And then the second kind of project of the way we've incorporated the New York Times, which was like we actually incorporated a two-page spread of the New York Times because we had our students use recycled two-page spreads of the Times to make a small basket. And then we'll be putting some recycled papers in that basket when we get, because they're nice, that way you can fold up the basket and take it in your luggage. And then we'll be using those baskets to put recycled papers in because Christ University has a CSA project, a social action, Center for Social Action project, where they recycle all of the paper goods at the university and have people from the local community making homemade paper from the recycled paper mash. And so we'll be have a chance to tour that facility and to like bring our own paper goods that we're recycling while we're visiting the guest house at Christ in our little origami baskets and bring those to the paper recycling plant so that we can see the whole process.
So an actual use for the printed newspaper.
That's exactly
in
right.
2018.
Yeah, so.
So there's a $500 cash award that comes with this. Are there restrictions on what you do with that?
Not necessarily. And so what we did was we spoke to our students about what's our best use and kind of what's our best bang for the buck in terms of how to use this award. And what we decided collectively is that we'll have the opportunity to work with probably between 5 and 8 non-governmental organizations altogether, all of which are working on really different things, from stream maintenance and rural farming initiatives to work with girls who've been trafficked, to women's health, to children's nutrition, to education. So what we're going to do is basically split the prize money and to provide a small donation to each of those NGOs in an equal amount from our class and from Western Michigan University and, of course, the New York Times, which was, we were thankful to be kind of our benefactor.
It was actually pretty neat. Our last pre-departure class meeting, Jennifer talked about the award, and students hadn't even known that we'd applied for it, and then said, "And we won, you know, and we get $500." And then anybody else could have said, you know, good for us, we won. Then her next thing was, how do we want to spend it? And their eyes kind of like, wow. It's like, well, let's talk about it. You know, what do you want to do? You know, and I don't think they were prepared to spend the award money, but then to make that decision, do you give it to just one organization, you know, and then, well, some even nonprofit organizations have great access to funds and grants and so on, and others are more homespun and so on. And so it gave an opportunity for them even to think about equity across non-governmental organizations and for them to make the decision, how do we want to spend this money? I thought that was pretty neat.
So when do you leave for India?
Next Friday. Friday the 7th, December 7th.
How many students are going?
We've got 25.
Yeah.
And so it's a really good mix. I mean, I can speak for the business side of it. It's not just they're not just management students. I've got marketing students, sales and business marketing students, advertising students, supply chain. I don't know if I've got any accounting students. We've got a big mix, though, of business students. And then on your side of it.
And we have social work students. And then we always have some students that are neither from the College of Health and Human Services nor the Haworth College of Business. So we've got a student who is a civil engineer and a student who's an environmental science major and kind of a handful of other students that find their way to the course, even though they're not part of one of the two core colleges that are sponsoring.
Jennifer Harrison is a professor of social work and Tim Palmer, a professor of management at Western Michigan University. Thank you both for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can read more about their course on social justice and sustainability in India, as well as the inaugural New York Times in Education Award for Innovation in Education Abroad at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.